You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Well, hello and welcome to Riverside's online gathering. My name's Keith, I'm one of the leaders around our church. And this morning we're continuing on in our sermon series, which we've been going through the book of Hebrews together. Now, last week, Susan walked us through the beginning part of Hebrews chapter 12. And there she showed us there's so much running imagery in the text. And in this running imagery, this race illustration that we saw last week, will continue on in today's passage as well. Which got me to think, the largest running race in South Bend is the Sunburst Run, the Sunburst Marathon, Half Marathon, 5K, 10K. It's happened for the past 36 straight years. And yet this year it was canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, last year, I decided I was going to run the Sunburst Half Marathon. I have never run a race before that, no 5K, no 10K, but I decided I needed a fitness goal. I need something to train for, something to aim at to get me motivated. So I signed up for the half marathon, and I started training. Initially, I got some direction from Chris Kreutz, one of the more avid runners in our church, in terms of how to stretch and how to not get too injured when you run. And then I just started running. I researched some training programs, how to prepare for half marathon. And then after 6 months of training, hard training with lots of intentionality and some injuries and some pain along the way for sure, I ran the race. And it's kind of hard to describe how amazing it is to have trained for half a year for something, to think about, to aim for, to get up early to train for, and to spend 6 months doing something like that, something I've never done before, and finally get to do it, and then run the race, and then finish the race. It was such a neat experience. And really, training for a race and then running in a race, it is a great analogy for life and a great illustration of what the journey of faith is like. And we're going to see that continuing analogy in today's text from Hebrews. It's such a good and helpful illustration. And so before we actually look at the scripture this morning, let's invite the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds for what he has for us this morning. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you are so good and so active and so engaged in our lives. We pray that you would open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes, for what it is you have for us this morning. May we listen well, learn well, grow well, yield well to your spirit, yield well to you, to your scripture. And we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's quickly reread the three verses that Susan walked us through last week, because they're so critical for today's text. And we saw this last week, Hebrews 12:1, which says this: "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," and that's pointing back to the previous chapter, chapter 11, where we saw example after example of faithful men and faithful women, right? So since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of faithful witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So really, in light of everything we've seen in Hebrews in this entire series, all this beautiful stuff about Jesus and then all the faithful examples of folks from the Old Testament, Hebrews now says it's time for us. It's time for you and for me. It's time for us to get up and run the race. And the verse states here that the race, this race of faith, is marked out by God. And it's a long race, right? It's not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. Meaning that to live life well, to have faith well, it will take some intentional training and endurance. And today's passage will talk about how we do this intentional training, how we go about developing endurance, what's God's role, what's our role, and all of that. And because it's such a long race, it calls us to have perseverance and endurance. It's going to take significant effort for us to do this race of faith well. It's going to take sustained focus to run and finish well. And then the main way that we do this is found in verse 2. We do this by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And so as we train and as we run, we're looking to Jesus. He's at the finish line. He's already run the race. We look to him. He spurs us along. And it says that Jesus, by the way, is both the pioneer and the perfecter. That's an amazing thing, by the way. He's the pioneer. He initiates faith, right? But then he's the perfecter. He grows faith and he sustains faith. He's the pioneer, perfecter, and our job is simply to keep our eyes focused on him. And As our eyes are focused on Jesus, we're then reminded of his journey 2,000 years ago on earth when he came down, he took on flesh, and for him life was painful at times, extremely painful at times, and he endured. And then look how it ended for Jesus. Hebrews goes on to say this, "For the joy set out before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And friends, this is one thing I want to point out here, as we're going to talk about today, how the race can be really hard and really painful at times, and maybe confusing at times. What we see here is that the race of life for followers of Jesus, it ends with joy. It ends with joy. For the joy set before Christ, he endured the cross. In other words, friends, look, life, there's lots of pain in the middle. And training will be hard. And absolutely, at times, life will bring injuries along the way. It'll feel like death at times. But the nature of this race, for followers of Jesus, is that it ends with joy, great joy. And joy sustained Jesus, and this joy will sustain us if we keep our eyes focused on and then the passage will transition from Jesus' race to our race and how we run. And so it goes from his race, his joy, and now to us. Verse 3, "Consider him who endures his opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And friends, here's, I think, why today's passage, which we're about to go into, is so important, because it's so easy to lose heart. It's so easy to grow weary, isn't it? There are so many obstacles along the way. I mean, so many things in life try to kill our hearts and stop our race and hinder our faith. And we come to hills that we didn't even know were coming, and they seem to be endless and endless and endless. And it can be quite discouraging. And so the call here is, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. And that's all the stuff that Susan did a great job walking us through last week. That's the background for today's text. It's a critical background, because we want to see, now how do you do all of that? How do you endure? How do you not grow weary? How do you not lose heart? How do you train? And we'll see that. We'll see that today. And so, in light of all the challenges in life and all the challenges in faith that's going to come our way, here's the first encouragement in today's text, verse 4. In today's text, "In your struggle against sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood." That's the first encouragement. It's like, well, that's a pretty intense encouragement. In your struggle against sin. Now, it's actually not clear here whose sin is being spoken about. Is this about our sin? About struggling against the sin in our own lives? Or is it struggling against the sin of others? People who've sinned and caused pain on our lives. It's actually not clear. And I personally think it's actually both. We all struggle with sin internally, and we're also all greatly impacted by the sins of others. This is a brutal world that we live in, filled with destructive sin, both internally to me and in me, and both externally, sin that impacts me from others. And this sin can leave us mangled and seriously wounded. And either way, no matter which one you're experiencing, either way, here's the critical thing, friends. This is the scripture, right? You have more to give. You have more to give. Friends, in your struggle against sin, be it your own sin or the sins of others that are impacting you, you have more to give. Keep on going. In this race of life, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You're still breathing. You're still alive. So keep on going. Keep going. You see, it is so easy to want to quit, isn't it? Quitting is easy. Giving up is easy. And so the encouragement here from Hebrews is, stay strong. If you're still breathing, you then still have life. And life is this epic battle and this epic struggle. But don't give in. Don't give in. And then the next verse is meant to encourage us in terms of one of the ways we keep going. Verse 5. "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son?" You see, friends, we have the very words of God. encouraging words, instructing words, guiding words. Our Father has spoken to us and we can listen to Him. We have a God, a Father who's engaged, who speaks. He's a kind Father that encourages His sons and His daughters. And so listen to Him and turn your ears. Listen to your good dad. Don't listen to the voice of the culture, be it the political left or the political right or the culture's call to consume more and more pleasure and consume more and more stuff. And don't give too much focus to the voice of doubt, and certainly guard against listening to the whispers of the enemy that wants to seek, kill, and destroy you. Instead of listening to all these other things, listen to the words of encouragement from our Heavenly Father. That's what the passage says. And by the way, right after that in verse 5, the writer of Hebrews, he or she goes on to then quote Scripture. He or she says, hey, we have the words of encouragement from our Father, and then quotes Scripture. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. We have the encouraging words of the Father, of God, and then it goes on to quote Scripture. Friends, the Word of God is such an encouraging thing, an instructing thing in our faith, if, here's the key, not if we know it, no, it's if we yield to what it says. If we yield to it and we follow it, even if we don't feel like it, even if we don't like it, if we yield to it, yield to what it reveals, yield to it to the way that's revealed how the kingdom of God works. And the passage of Hebrews will now go on to quote a specific passage from the Old Testament. It's actually from Proverbs chapter 3. It's again meant to encourage us. This is meant to encourage us. You'll be like, is that really an encouraging thing? Well, yeah, if you understand why. It says this, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. It's meant to encourage you. The Lord will discipline us. And do not lose heart when He rebukes you. God will rebuke you. It's meant to encourage you. Because the Lord disciplines the one He loves. And He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. That means He rebukes, corrects, or disciplines everyone He accepts as His son. And so the Lord disciplines. The Lord disciplines. Now, we hear that word discipline, and we often think of the word punishment. That's not necessarily what it means. God's discipline is God's training of us. It's His guiding of us and His correcting of us. And think about it. When I say the word disciple, a disciple of Jesus, do you want to be a disciple of Christ? Well, I like that word. And my heart kind of goes, oh, yes, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be a pupil of God. I want to be a learner of God. I want to be a disciple of God. Well, a disciple wants instruction. A disciple wants God's teaching. A disciple wants God's discipline. See, if you take the discipline out of the process of becoming a disciple, well, then you don't really have anything. If you take discipline out of discipleship, there's not much left. And friends, when we receive the discipline of the Lord, the instruction from God, even when we don't like it, the discipline of the Lord, we're then called to submit ourselves to Him, to His training program, to His ways, which are always higher than our ways. They make a lot more sense in His kingdom, but to us, they're going, really, this doesn't make sense. But see, we have to trust and prepare us for the race. I mean, sometimes a good coach or a good father or a good mother will say no to things that aren't good for us. We might think they're good. We might think they're pleasing, but the one who knows better says no, no, no. So in light of this, the scripture says, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. It's easy to make light of it and ignore it and ignore His instructions. Do not make light of it. And don't lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one that He loves. Friends, God's preparing us. Don't shortchange the preparation process. And really, He's training us. We're in training. And training is not always fun. But when it comes to a great coach or a great parent, the training is meant to empower us and encourage us and strengthen us. It will stretch us. I mean, a great coach will correct and even rebuke an athlete when it's needed. But friends, when you hear the word discipline, don't think corporal punishment. That's not necessarily the case here. This is the discipling that God does. The disciplining God does is meant to train us when we feel like quitting. You feel like you want to quit the race. Now you're being trained. There's more inside to give. Persevere! Persevere! In other words, trust the process. Trust the training from God. Yes, sometimes it's hard, but even then it's good. It's good. And then we come on to verse 7 where we read this. Endure hardship as discipline. Things are harder now, Keith. I don't know if I can make it. Well, it might be the discipline of God, or it might not be from God. It might be the sin of others, but you've not endured to the point of shedding your own blood. You can endure. God is treating you as his children, for children are not disciplined by their father. Look, friends, when we learn to endure, when you learn how to persevere and not give up, when you've learned how to persevere and not give in, you become stronger. And by the way, this is a kind of neat thing about the text. God treats us this way. He allows us to go through hard things. He disciplines us in the midst of hard seasons. And he trains us. He allows us to go through these things. Because we're his legitimate kids. We're his legitimate kids. When I was in high school and played football, my coach would always push me really hard. And every once in a while, he would say, Keith, I'm pushing you hard because I'm investing in you. I've stopped pushing those other guys. I've kind of given up on them. But you, I'm pushing you. If I stop pointing out your mistakes, it's a bad sign because it means I've moved on. And here, Hebrews says that God disciplines us to the very fact that he's extremely engaged in our development and extremely engaged in our growth because you are his son and his daughter. We're his sons and his daughters. The alternative, by the way, is verse 8. If you're not disciplined, and everyone goes under discipline, but if you're not disciplined by God, well, then you're not legitimate. You're not a true son or a true daughter at all. Man, look, I'm a father. I got 5 kids. I discipline my kids. Now, I don't discipline your kids. If you have kids, I'll invest in your kids. I'll speak into your kids, But my kids, if your last name's Walatka, oh, there's a different kind of discipline that comes because I'm your dad, right? And for those of us in Christ, our Heavenly Father disciplines us. And it's good. Friends, God's discipline is for our good. And we see that. We see that in verse 9. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect parents who discipline. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? And as a dad, I sometimes tell my kids no. One of the best things a parent can say to a child is no. A good parent will train their child and discipline their child out of love. And when they do that, the outcome long term is respect. Maybe not the short term. The short term is, I don't like you. You're going to kill me. Right? The kid might think that. But the parent that knows what's best, long term, they discipline out of love. And the outcome of the long term is respect from the child. And I greatly respect parents that discipline their kids. Not out of anger. Not with a short fuse. Not in a punitive way. I don't respect that at all. But parents that discipline their kids out of love, with self-control and out of love, I respect them. I mean, discipline meant to grow the child and to form the child. I respect those kind of parents. And Hebrews says, in light of earthly parents that discipline their kids well, how much more should we submit to the Father of spirits, the Father of us, our spirits, and live? How much more should we then submit to God and his good and loving discipline? Will you yield to the way of God? Will you yield to the way the scripture lays out or to the way of the world? Will we like the world's ways or will we actually be so radically different that we yield to the words of God and to the Spirit of God? Friends, when we learn to follow Jesus, when we learn to submit to his ways and to follow his guiding, to yield to his word, instead of following the ways of the world, and instead of yielding to our shifting emotions, friends, when we submit to the training and the discipline of God, the outcome is great formation and lots of joy in the long term. And, and a life that leads to joy. So in the midst of the training, you want to give up, you want to give in, throw in the towel, move on. Don't trust him. Trust his ways. Trust his heart. Trust his heart. I have some new running goals since my half marathon last year, my one and only half marathon. And these new goals for me have meant I have to step up my training a little bit. It's not just more training. It's also I have to do some different training. So recently I got a book on running. It's written from experts on running. And it's really pushing me to how I mix up my running and how I start training up my training a little bit. And honestly, some of these newer workouts, I hate them. I mean, I have always enjoyed my leisurely run around Notre Dame. I enjoy my long runs in the morning where I get up and I go by the river and I run by the river in the morning. It's beautiful. But this book now is now having me incorporate some faster running and some sprint workouts and some new different kinds of weight training. And honestly, I hate it. I don't like it. I'm not a fan. I mean, I am not a sprinter. And I don't like this new training all that much when I'm doing it. I don't love it when I'm doing it. But friends, I'm seeing gains. I'm seeing gains in my running. I'm seeing gains in the process. And so I'm trusting the process even though I don't like it. And friends, the same is with God in his discipline and his ways. Even when it doesn't feel all that fun, even when it doesn't line up with our emotions or our feelings or the ways of the world, God sometimes takes us through things that we would never choose on our own. But they're good. They're hard, but they're good. And that's what verse 10, 11 says. They, talk about earthly parents, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought was best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Do you want to share in God's holiness? Yield to his ways, his discipline. Because no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and of peace for those who've been trained by it. You see, friends, the ultimate goal of God's training in us is that we will share in his holiness. His holiness. You want his holiness? Do you? Well, then his discipline and his ways produce a harvest of righteousness and peace if for those who've been trained by it. And that's really what I want. It is. I mean, when I think about my kids, I mean, I think about their GPA or their worldly accomplishments or the long-term jobs they'll probably hold. I don't really care all about that. What I care about is my kids' Christ-likeness, their righteousness, their holiness, their image bearers of Christ, their ability to persevere, their willingness to yield to his ways and his kingdom, and their peace, and their joy. And so I train them. And I discipline them. And friends, our God, our good dad, does the same for you and for I because we're his true sons and his true daughters. And he will discipline his true sons and his true daughters. And yet, so often, we have a role to play in this, right? So often, we want to quit. We want to quit the training and avoid the discipline and do things our way instead of God's way, which is why the passage then ends by saying this, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Friends, there are going to be points in life where you're running and you just want to give in. Points where your arms start to drop and your knees get weak and you start to wobble and your form just disintegrates, deteriorates. You have terrible running form, right? And you just want to stop and you want to give up or give in. And the encouragement here is, this is the Hebrews, right? Keep going. Stay on the path. There'll be times in life, especially in life of faith, where you want to give up. You want to skirt God's ways and do it the world's way. And you want to do it on your own instead of with God or with the church. And you want, our own way instead of God's way. But friends, that just won't produce the long-term goals that you hope for. It will not produce the long-term goals. So Scripture says, make a level path for your feet. Follow the ways of the Lord. Friends, the promise from God here is simple. It's simple. If you obey Him and you keep focused on Him and you follow His ways and you embrace His discipline, you embrace His activity in your life, then in the long term, it will produce in us, as stated previously, a harvest of righteousness and of peace and of holiness for those who've been trained by it. And so that's Hebrews. That's Hebrews. That's the encouragement, right? The encouragement, pretty intense encouragement for us. So with that said, friends, how's it going? I mean, we can talk theoretically all about this, but this is not a theoretical passage. It's our turn to run the race. We're done with all the theology of Hebrews. Well, we're not done with it, but all the theology of Hebrews led to this. You run your race now. So how's it going? How's your training? How's it going? This is, can't just be a theological, intellectual thing up here. It's got to be, how is your faith? How is your race? So all I'm going to do at this point, I'm going to ask you some simple, basic questions about your life of faith. And by the way, these questions come directly from the passage. This is not a very, special message from your pastor with some unique study insight, because I'm just reading the text to you. This is a fastball down the middle kind of passage, friends. So let me ask you some questions from the text. Brothers and sisters, are you throwing off everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles? Is there a sin in your life that is easily entangling you? There are temptations for you that are easily entangling you? Have you thrown off everything that hinders? Have you given it all you got? Or maybe this question, are you fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith? Are your eyes really fixed on Him? What do you look at? What do you see? What captures your attention? Or are you giving in and giving up? Are you throwing in the towel? Or are you considering Him who endured? It says, in your struggle against sin, you haven't resisted yet to the point of shedding your own blood. So in other words, you can keep going. Trust God and trust His ways. I don't think I have anymore. I can't do it anymore. Well, you haven't resisted to the point of shedding your blood. It's Hebrews. I'm just quoting the scripture. Let me ask you this. Are you yielding to God's word? Are you yielding to God's ways, or have you completely forgotten His word of encouragement? It's so easy to say, well, you know what? I know the Bible says this. I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. Have you completely forgotten His word of encouragement is what the scripture says? Another question, are you embracing God's ways even when it seems hard or counterintuitive, or are you making light of God's discipline? Are you making light of the Lord's discipline? Because God disciplines the ones He loves. Are you enduring hardship as discipline, or are you taking the easy road out? Which one? Which one is it? And friends, here's the beautiful thing about God. He's good. It's not too late. And if you've given in, or if you've given up, friends, my encouragement to you, my pleading to you, the words of Scripture today is simple. Remember this. God disciplines us for our good. In order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. And friends, for all of us, the call from Jesus is simple. Keep going. Don't quit. Strengthen your feeble arms. Strengthen your weak knees and make level paths for your feet. You see, God will produce great things in us, and God will produce great things through us if we stay the course. Things like holiness and righteousness and eventually great peace and shalom if we keep going and don't quit. Keep going, and we keep going with our eyes focused on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Some of us just need encouragement this morning to stay the course. Others of you need encouragement, maybe even discipline or rebuking to repent and to turn from sin. And all of us need to remember, the race is hard, but it's worth it. Yes, there are great obstacles, But we are loved by a God that moves mountains and a God that meets with us in our darkest hour. And so we can persevere. You can persevere. At this time, we're just together virtually where you're at with other folks virtually gathered. We're going to spend some time fixing our eyes on Jesus by singing some songs to him. I want to encourage you. Some of you are, wherever you're at, you're going to sing loudly. Some of you, that's just not your thing. That's not your thing. Just reflect upon the words on the screen. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and read this passage again. Reflect on what God might be pointing out in this passage for you and how you should respond to it. At this point, we're going to sing a few more songs to God together, fixing our eyes on him. Would you pray with me? Jesus, you are the pioneer, perfecter of our faith. You have shown us what it means to endure. You have shown us what it means to live a life of righteousness and holiness and of justice. And you are good and you are active and you are engaged. And God, at times it's hard to trust your ways because your ways are so much higher than our ways. Your ways are so different than the ways of the world. And it's so easy to want to give in. So God, I just pray by your Spirit that you would move in a mighty way in our church, that you'd bring about a level of holiness and righteousness in our church that is growing. That there'd be a sense of peace and joy in our church, God, that we would embrace your discipline, embrace your ways, and yield to you because we know that you are good. And God, I thank you that you promised to be with us in this race. You run with us, and you started the race as our pioneer, and you've perfected us, and you work with us in the race. And we're so thankful. And so we want to respond to you right now through this singing together, through this praying together. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. We pray more. We want more of you. So come. We pray this in your name, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.